on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, down, down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I'll exchange it someday for a crown.
Hallelujah. Good morning, North Monroe Baptist. My name is Bill Dye. No, it's not. It's not Bill Dye. I'm not the pastor here. Somebody said, he's black? No, he's not. He's not black. I'm visiting, and I've been privileged to preach in the midst of Emerge this weekend amongst a powerhouse of young adults and students and the leader who has brought them to this juncture in Kendall Clayton. Bless you and your bride, my brother, for the work that God has planted you to do here. And while you're clapping, we need to publicly, appreciatively applaud Pastor Bill Dye, who is assisting in a one-year anniversary for one of your own down the road around the corner in Alexandria. You could have done better than that, because he took the risk of letting a brother from another mother stand in the platform this morning. So let's just give him Hercules. Let's give Bill Dye applause. I'm trying to be expeditious, but there's a staff here. All the staff of North Monroe Baptist, stand up wherever you are. Staff and families, just stand up. We want to acknowledge that God has brought you to be intercessors, liaisons, ushers, shepherds. He has equipped you with valiant warriors in this church. And you saw baptism, so there is life in the midst. If you're nowhere in fellowship, this is a good place to plant your life and to be groomed to live according to God's great plan. And the best is yet to come. Can y'all applaud them as well? Thank you. Love y'all. Bless you. Now, I want to share real quick. I'm reminded of a story of Howard John Wesley, who's the pastor of Alfred Street in Alexandria, Virginia. And Pastor Howard John talks about his father making a rite of passage from the South to the North back in the day when there was division in our country. Aren't you glad that that's no longer a problem? But way back, there was some issues, and there was heated divide and a lot of prejudice, and we're in 2017 now. That was then, and this is now. But then, Howard John's dad was trying to get away from oppression. He was trying to get away from a mindset of inferiority as well as belittlement. And so he's on a Greyhound bus, the father of this preacher, trying to make it to the North. And they made a stop in Mississippi. I met a Mississippi girl who's a leader here this weekend for Emerge. They stopped in Mississippi, in your neck of the woods. Yeah, Kendall's bride. And here's what the bus driver said to the folk who sat on the back of the bus. Did you know that was a time that you couldn't pick where you sat? For some people. So that was a group that sat in the back, group that sat in the front. And the bus driver said to the group in the back when they stopped to get relief, he said, don't belong. They don't like your kind around here.
And as everybody exited the bus, they went to the restroom facility, and lo and behold, to the folk who sat in the back, that was a surprise, a shock, amazement. It cost a nickel for them to go to the restroom, and the other facility was free. And dejected, the folk from the back of the bus, who were not like you, and they didn't have bling, bling, ka-ching, ka-ching, many of them not even a nickel to their name, did an about-face, headed back to the bus. They heard the bus driver's warning,
don't be long, they don't like your kind here.
Until one man stood out in the crowd. He said, wait a minute, I got a nickel. And I'm going to hold the door until everybody is able to get through, get relief, and be blessed to get back on the bus. Here's what I want you to know. I won't be long. And guess what else? I got a nickel. I'm going to hold the worship door wide open until everyone from the balcony to the front row is able to cross over to the old rugged cross and find their burdens laid down and their trophies removed so they could be refreshed and set free. Anybody? Came to church today, not to just come to church, but you came to encounter blessing. The door is wide open. But to get you through the door, I got to ask a pertinent question. It's profound. Things that make you go, can you keep a secret? That's my question. I'm looking around the room. I'm not talking about a trivial whatever. I'm talking about a juicy, fat, delicious secret. By a show of hands, who cannot? So I can see where you are and abort you like the plague. I see you right there, brother, right? Anybody else? Honesty is the best. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. You know if somebody tells you something, you're going to tell two or three more people. Okay, since y'all are not being honest, if you're sitting next to a gossiper, blink at me. Don't look at them. Just blink at me. I see you. Don't do any head sit. Just blink. I got you in the balcony. I see. Can you? Secrets. Some of you don't even wear pants with pockets because a secret would burn a hole through your garment. Secrets. I'm asking, honestly, are you the type of individual who will admit if you tell me in confidence, I can't keep it to myself? Now, I've been a pastor long enough to lose my afro. It's hard. The struggle, looking at you, looking at me, looking at you, gets difficult. And not just because of the people, but I lost my afro trying to figure God out. And so I told a staff in one staff meeting, listen, I'm going to give you something in confidence. Don't tell nobody. And I saw folk reaching in their tweeting and texting as I was telling them to be sworn to secrets. Secrets, here's what you need to know. Write this down. Secrets are hard to keep. That's the first thing you got to understand. Secrets, hard to keep. Anybody mall watch? You watch people in the mall? Let me show you, let me prove my point, how hard secrets are to keep. You're quick to say, that ain't her hair. Mall watchers. Good Christian folk, but you watch people at the mall, that's not his wife. He must have a great job to be with her. Anybody? Ever? Okay, you came to church like, look at her on the third pew. Her flip-flops don't even match her dress. People have these pointing fingers and they assess and they let the spotlight turn and the music will stop when a man comes through the door. He's got a scarlet letter. That's him. D for divorce. Look at that one. A for alcoholism. Look at her. H for hoochie mama. We got all of these labels. Scarlet letters. Adultery. You name it. Sinner. And we grunt our teeth. Secrets are hard to keep. Or do you clean the glass and you announce because you know yourself, don't tell me nothing about the deacon's daughter because I'm going to tell everybody what type of person she really is. Here's what you need to know. Secrets are, they're hard to keep. Why do I need to know that? Here's why. Because I found the best kept secret in town. Y'all didn't even think I was going to get the scripture, did you? Luke chapter 24. I got to move. Because I don't want to be long. There are 12 verses that are necessary to get inside your DNA, to hide in your heart, so you will do something about secrets that come your direction. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12, when you find it, say amen. If you hadn't gotten there, say, hold up, wait a minute, let me get some scripture in it. That's for the youth. That's for the youth. You need to know I'm not making this up. And that means you got to study to show yourself approved, adults, workmen, not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Luke has a prescription in chapter 24 because he was a physician. And the word of God says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and a certain other women with them came to the tomb. They brought spices which were prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? Have you been to that church service? Full of the frozen chosen? Dead men walking? Nobody's excited. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? This church ought to be rocking to the degree folk are calling 911 right now because you're on fire. And the degree of the word shows me that the angelic host said, he's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day rise again? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and they told everybody they crossed paths with, the 11 and all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James. Turn to somebody and say, it took a woman to tell it. I'm in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. Sister said, hey, I got some news. And then it took a bubble. Look at verse 11. And their words seemed like idle tales and nonsense. They did not believe them. It took a bubble to go, and let it go in one ear. And the lady spoke up on that one, like, yes, this one. Okay, now listen, it goes on to say, but Peter arose, as you have to today. And he ran to the tomb for himself, not some preacher, not some passing evangelist, not just Pastor Bill, not just this shepherd in Kendall. It was Peter who said, I want to see for myself. And he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed marveling to himself at what had happened. See, y'all thought that was new terminology, but here in the text it says what had happened was a secret. The best kept secret in town, but it's too good to hold to myself. Can I tell you what it is? I'm gonna talk to this side. Y'all mind your business over here. He got up. That's the secret. Y'all didn't hear. Y'all didn't care. Let me tell you. It's the best kept secret in town. A whole lot of Baptist folk don't talk about it. A lot of people keep it on the down low, but y'all are my friends. Let me tell you. He got up from the grave. To get up in you, it ought not be a secret. Because secrets are hard. Is this one for you? Because the folk in the text forgot what was prophesied, forgot what was spoken. And then all of a sudden, it took angelic hosts to awaken them to smell the coffee. It's the best kept secret in town, but this is a message that should be ablaze, yet it's not. Here it is. I just have to tell you, I can't keep it any longer. He got up from the grave and he is Lord of all. That's what you need to know. Now, ask yourself, why do I need to know it? This was class participation. I don't want to talk back to you. Yes, to make sure we're together in this. I'm also sojourning through this word and I need to you, for you and me to be in dialogue. Listen, here's why you need to know it. It's fulfillment of prophecy. The Son of Man shall come, and he came and was crucified, and on the third day he rose again. You saw it for yourself in Luke chapter 24. Why do we need to know it? It's gospel good news. Scratch it. Tony the Tiger, great news. Living. He loved me. the gospel. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified. He freed me forever. And nothing about Mike Satterfield and slavery go together. That's like spandex and obesity at Walmart. They don't go together. You've seen them. Shorts with juicy, oh, that's a whole nother. They don't go together. One day he's coming back for a freed man who has ecclesia, freed people alongside of me, and it's going to be a glorious day. It gives me grinning rights. What if it's today? Will you welcome him in? Will you be elated that he cracks open the ceiling of North Monroe Baptist and he receives those who are the redeemed of the Lord that say so? What are you saying? He got up. Yeah, the baby even said he got up. It causes blinded eyes to open, this good news and great news. It causes lame legs to walk. It causes set free captives to come running saying, what do I need to do to get others to be saved? Here it is. I just can't hold it to myself. One died for all so that all could live for one. It's a message of hope. And since you tell everything else that's none of your business, why not share this? Oh, you read everybody else's tweets and texts and emails, you Facebook troll, to see how others are living large, and you're twiddling your thumbs in boredom. And since you're going to do that, why not tell the good news that is yours not to keep to yourself, but to go therefore into all the world and see others made into disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything you learned in your life group, your Sunday school, your cell group, your small group, and your PJs and pancakes gatherings. For both mamas and their daughters, y'all need to be here. Why aren't you, let me say it this way, since you don't gossip, why don't you gossip the gospel? Come on, imagine all 1,000 of us leave here in the next few moments, walk down to Brookshire and walk in and say, he got up, and then walk away. Can you imagine what the folk in the grove, who? No, aisle 7, somebody got up. They will follow you to the parking lot. Hey, who? No, 1,000 people just came in here and said, somebody got up. I need to know. Who is it? And you can tell him he didn't just get up, he's coming back. Are you ready? As for me and my house, we've got bated breath. We're on the edge of our seat every moment and nanosecond of every day, anticipating the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming for a church without spot and blemish. North Monroe, are you ready? He wants a bride that is arrayed. Put a pin right there. Have you been to a wedding? You know what happens when the bride hits the door? All rise. And then the music, you just, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, this is beautiful. Did you know you're the bride of Christ? Did you get that excited when you got here today? Yes! The wedding with the groom is today. Are you one? You need to elbow and wake somebody up to see that this is reality. We announce, look at her. We announce, look at him. We even invite people to Mary Kay and Advocare instead of Messiah Christ and Jesus Care. We'll quickly hand a business card to our barber and our beautician and our fitness trainer and then walk away, call them. No, right now. But we're not inviting people to the one who does life transformation and open heart surgery, the God who receives our confessions of sin, plural. That's a good, good father. The one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And you know what he does? He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, plural. I can't keep that to myself. He's better to me than I've been to myself. He's a bridge over troubled waters. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is my Alpha, my Omega, my beginning, and my end. He's the air that I breathe. He got up. And he's here. He's on every pew, every row. You're saying, why are you so loud? Can you calm down? No! I'm passionate. And so are you. About your saints. Who that? And I'm talking about saints that march to the beat of a different drum. Are you that passionate? Any golfers in the room? Anybody? Where my gentleman at? Gentleman's game. You're supposed to whisper on the golf. You have a shank one? What did you say after that, brethren? It appears that I just hit it off kilter. Let us cascade to the next hole and see if we could give it a... No, you're breaking clubs and throwing bags, cussing. In the gentleman's game. Why? Because you are passionate. And I don't know about you, but I'm passionate about food as well. Can you tell? I didn't get this size on celery sticks and rice cake. This is bluebell country. You understand? Passionate. Y'all quit slowing me down. Here's the challenge. When we confess sins one to another like we should, he's faithful, he's just. When we announce I'm a sinner who's lost his way, desperately in need of direction, because I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore. I was very deeply, I'm talking about me, stained within, sinking to rise no more. But why do I get excited? Because but the master of the sea heard Mike's despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. What did it, love? When you would screen my calls, when you wouldn't have anything to do with me, love lifted me when nothing else would help. So what you need to know, secrets are hard to keep. Why do you need to know the best kept secret in town? Because it's gospel good news. And then what do I do about what I need to know and why I need to know it? Here's what you do practically. Here's what you do seriously. Here's what you've got to do literally. You have access to the best kept secret in town in Luke 24 about the greatest subject on earth, the lover of our soul, the lifter of our heads, the one who has stepped out on nothing and said, let it be. He's triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He was there before, before was before, and he'll be there after, after is after. That lets me know that he's the same yesterday, today. Somebody shout forever. And I need him on my side. Because he got up to transform my life. Chris Tomlin wrote about it. Jesus Messiah. He used scripture in order to pen the words. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. You know what the one who got up did? He humbled himself and he carried the cross. He represents something that is supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, something so fascinating. It's love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all name, blessed Redeemer. He's Emmanuel. He's the ransom of sinners. He is the one who rescues us from perishing. He's Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. And God approves of this message. He got up. And I'm wondering if he's up in you. So today, since he got up, and I know why he got up, to get up in me. I told the youth on last night, can I tell the rest of the crowd what y'all got? A clue, here it is. He who had no skin put on skin to get in your skin. And sometimes he gets under your skin. And he keeps you in a holy discontent because this can't be it. There's got to be more. Chris Clayton, Kendall's brother, you didn't know they were connected like that, did you? Who just sang, says, there's nothing worth more. Will ever come first than that Jesus that I prioritize for my life. So here's what I do with the message that I need. And it's three things. I got to believe it. Say believe. I got to receive it, shout receive, and then I got to spread it, say spread. You ought to be contagious as a yawn today. If I yawn right now, it's over. Some of y'all already beat me to the punch. You stayed up all night, did you? See, I just said yawn, and I got you right there in the middle aisle, right there. It's contagious, are you? With something good, something potent, something. I see another. Got you. Is that the gospel that you live by? Some of y'all are resisting, like fish that don't want to be caught. You're not going to get me. And that's what's wrong with you. God is saying, come out, come out. And you're like, I ain't going to be caught. Let go and let him have his way. Believe, receive, and spread. Why, preacher? Because a lot of us, if you ever check the record, believe in someone that we refuse to follow. Do I have to say Obama? You believe he was president, but I ain't going to follow his leadership. Do I have to say Trump? You're like, y'all don't have to invite me back. I brought my own amens. Preach, Mike. Amen. There are people we believe in and we refuse to follow. Do I have to say Pastor Bill? I've been a member here before he got here. He ain't tell me what to do. I built that first pew. But do you have timber in heaven where moth and dust cannot corrupt? No thief can break in and steal. So what? Your name is on a pew. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? He got up from the grave. And I got to believe it. And I got to follow and receive it. And I got to spread this news. How? Tell it. Tell it from your porch before you leave the doorstep. And before you get to the porch, tell it at your table in the kitchen. And before you get to the table, you ought to remind yourself at Bedside Baptist. He got up, and he's Lord. Lord over my shame. Lord over my guilt. Lord over my laziness. He's Lord over my depression, my anxiety. He's Lord over my disorder. I got issues. He's Lord over abandonment, Lord over betrayal, Lord over victimization, Lord over sin, hell, death, and the grave. He got up. Here's what I know. Since you don't want to hear it from me, maybe a dead theologian can help us. Because we like dead people to talk to us. Watchman Nee, a theologian of old, gives us preaching 101. He says, he who truly knows how to preach must have first preached the word to himself. Okay, here's what that means. Practice what you preach. Because if you come to my house, knock on the door in Arlington, Texas, to sell me soap, and I look at your fingernails and they're dirty, guess what chocolate covering for the Lord ain't gonna do? Chocolate Thunder ain't buying your product. You don't even use it. And a lot of you are leading groups and teaching Bible studies, and you don't use the product. You got good academe because you're spiritually obese. A lot of head knowledge and no action step, no shoe leather. And then on the other pendulum swing, there are a lot of emotional folks. Oh, that was so amazing. What did he say? I don't know, but it felt so good. And God is saying, can I bring you to the place where you will fall desperately head over heels in love with me and practice what you preach? Use the, don't be hearers of the word this Sunday only. The scripture says, be thou doers of the word. So help me preach. Turn to somebody and just give them a grin offering. Just all 32 teeth, or how many you got left in your head? That's a blessing. They hadn't been smiled at all Sunday. And you just, some of y'all just turn, give them your happy face. This is my happy face. You got a face for radio. I didn't say give them your wallet. Just smile. Have you ever seen somebody with one tooth smile? What's the grandma stock? One good tooth. She don't care. Hey. Grandma got some food in the kitchen. I'm like, yes, Jesus loves me. Rehearse the message with yourself that he got up to announce his word is true, and he himself is the truth that sets us free, and whom the Son has set free. Free in, now tell your face,
I'm free indeed.
No longer bound, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting, and it's a blessing. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I am free. Because somebody died the death I should have died. His name is not to be secretive. It's Jesus. He nailed your sickness and infirmity to an old rugged cross. And he said, it is finished. He vanquished Satan and sin. And he hung his head and gave up the ghost. Then he went to a borrowed tomb. I said a borrowed tomb because he wasn't planning on staying. And he said 3 days later, I'm getting up. All power in heaven and earth in his hands. And he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, and the chastisement that gives me grinning rights and peace was upon him. And by his stripes today, this broken man is healed. I know something that often is a secret. He got up. You ever sit next to somebody that knew answers that you didn't have the answers to? And you're like, come on, don't play. What's the answer to the test? And you got to scoot close because you know they know, and they're just, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood. We got something the world needs. Don't keep it in four walls. Collapse the walls this Sunday and go. And let them know, I got to tell you something. He got up! And this is why. Why am I sharing this secret of good news? You just said why. It's good news. Why would you not pass that along? We share because it's good news. And Watchman Nee adds, it takes a truly dead man emptied of self-reliance to preach a truly risen Savior who rose from an empty tomb. I'm almost out of time, but I had to go see for myself. I didn't just read Luke 24. I lived it. I went to the Holy Land. I went to Israel. I walked the cobblestone roads that my Jesus' feet tread. I went to the place of the skull, Golgotha, Calvary. I looked and I saw the skull image inside the rock formations next to this place where they said they laid my Savior. Now, I've been to Sunday school. I've been through. I was a part of the BTU, the Baptist Training Union. That's old school. I dated myself right there. I know the rudiments of church life, and I've seen what it looks like in my missionary Baptist background to just do church and not be the church. So I didn't want the felt board Jesus. I didn't want the painted white Jesus. I wanted to know the one in spirit and truth who calls the church to worship him in spirit and truth. And I went into that cavern, and the stone was rolled away, and I looked around, and there were not even linen cloth to be found in there. And I look closely, is he here? I know Confucius is still in his grave, and Muhammad is still boned in his grave. But I looked in there, and let me tell this side. Can I tell you what? He ain't in there. He got up. I saw with my own eyes. I'm not taking another man's word for it. I went to the tomb, and the tomb is empty, and the throne is occupied, and Jesus is at the right-hand side of the Father, ever making intercession for North Monroe and all Monroevites. He got up, and he is here. God with us. What do I do, preacher? I'm glad you asked me that question. You got to assume a death position today. See, when you look at a Galatians 2:20, you symbolically die to self and invite Christ to lead you in a more excellent way. No longer am I going to hinder what you're trying to do on this Sunday. I don't want it my way. I do want Yahweh. And when you yield, you become those who are crucified with Christ, and you don't live anymore. The life you live by faith in the Son of God. The Word of God tells me he loved me, and he died for me, and he rose that I might have a right to life, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'm talking to the ladies too. But life more abundant. Don't you want that? Anybody not want life that's in a flat line? Anybody want more than what you've been settling for? Anybody want a spouse that's electrified and loves you from the rooty to the tooty, that's Ebonics for head to toe? I mean, I call my wife every morning and say, "You welcome. You get all of this chocolate Tanta." And she says, "What else you got?" That ain't right. Pray for me. No, I thank the Lord he's given me somebody on loan that cherishes and allows me to do what I'm doing in your midst today. I thank God for Bill that took a risk. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. But he said, "If Kendall trusts, then I trust. And I will even vacate and be another locale." He'll be back for the visitors, like, please let him return so I can. But the word shows me you got to die to self. And it's real pretzel-like. Go ahead, cross your arms like this. You see that very image of death? Jesus did it for us, but today I'm calling you to symbolically showcase I'm getting out of his way. Now, if you look at the pretzel real closely, there are three holes, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. You'll never eat a pretzel the same way again. We tell it at Easter, but that was this monk in 16 or 600 AD, and there were extra pieces of dough that he didn't know what to do with, so he twisted it and put it in the form of the pretzel, because in the 600 AD era, children prayed in this posture, and they humbled themselves in death position. And when he baked those extra pieces of dough and handed them out to remind children, "You must pray. You must pray. Not that your will be done, but that God's will be done." When? Now. If not now, then when are you going to get around to it? Why would I do this? Because when someone comes at you and they are serving you haterade, you need to assume the death position. Can you imagine today somebody in the hallway, you know, you ain't nothing, your mama and them ain't nothing, just, they will back away and cray cray. I don't know what's happening here. When you go back to school and the teacher starts harassing you, just, when you get home and you act just like your daddy, it's a death position. And it's saying, I could react and I could throw up my dukes, but vengeance is the Lord's and he will repay. And my God is bigger and badder and bolder than any would-be adversary. No weapon formed against you can prosper. And the closest to the truth in life many get does not always mean they will commit to it. So you got to die to self. The belief, the reception, the spreading of this word is not always followed through on. So you got to die to self. The deception is you could live without Jesus. Anybody know the truth? You can't. Not life to the full. I've had counterfeit stuff in my life, and it's not fun to have. Where the ladies at, and you had a man get you a ring that was not legitimate? He's like, "Girl, when I look at you, I want you to have this token of my love." And you got it appraised, and it's not worth the penny that he spent to get it out the bubblegum machine. Counterfeit. Scratch that. You got a counterfeit necklace. What did it leave around your neck? A ring that was not to be preferred. It's green and irritating. Anybody ever wore counterfeit outfits? Yeah, you got something that said you thought FUBU, but it was who knew? You thought it was made in China and it was El Segundo? You put it on thinking it was silk and it was burlap? You've been itching ever since. What's wrong with this outfit? It's counterfeit. And God wants to give you the genuine article. So I got to go. The baby is telling me it's over. What now? What next? Here it is. There are two kinds of people here this Sunday. Two kinds of attenders. Two kinds of men. Two kinds of women. Two kinds of students. One who's saved and one who's about to be. Which one are you? If you can't say in affirmative, "I'm saved, sanctified, filled, and I know the one who got up," then you need to get your relationship vertically right with God so you can live horizontally prosperous in this life's journey. And you can be removed from hanging and hiding behind a secret. I got something else I got to tell you. He got up. And he wants to be yours exclusively. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As Chris comes, maybe you today need to assume the death position because you've been in the way of God. You've not been believing as you should. You've not definitely received, and you're not spreading the message. It starts at the house. Father, transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. As he begins to sing, I have to exercise this at my own dwelling because my mission field is not Ukistanistan. It's my house. Ukistanistan comes second. And I've got two children in my home that require missional discipleship. They act just like their mama's side of the family. No, I'm serious because I called my daughter. She's 20. Both of my kids are at Abilene Christian University because I knew too many people in Baptist institution. So they chose a Church of Christ school. Do you know anyone in the administration? No, I don't know anyone. We're going there. It's a true story. He, Chris, knows. I called my daughter. I was like, hey, baby girl, just calling to tell you I love you. I'm so excited about your future. You are a jewel and a prize. You know what my daughter said? Dad, you could have texted that. I brought you into this world. I'm about to take you out. Go make another one look just like you. Because that's my phone that you're answering on the other end of this line. I can call it whenever I want to. That's my mission field, Warren. My own baby girl. And my son, God bless him, he's the muscles of the operation, but one fry short of a happy meal. There's pain in the offering. I can't bypass them saving the world and my house go to H-E double hockey sticks in the hell basket. I said hell. I didn't mean to say, I meant H-E double hockey sticks only. He got, and you have a decision. Are you saved? If not, you're about to be. You're going to get instructions after they sing, and don't let the day go by without you getting your relationship right. Ought not be a secret. You ought to tell the world. My life is on blast. When I look at you, I ought to hear front page news. Extra, extra, read all about it. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? And after you witness and disciple, they ought to say, we do too. Stand to your feet. Let's worship.
We've sung this song all weekend long, and I think it's great to end with this song this morning. Let's sing this together. Students, let's lead it out.
Lord, I come and I confess, and bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart, 'cause you're the one who guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need.
Sing that.
Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. 'Cause you're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Now, Now here's the deal. Warren is about to come and invite you to make a decision. And as he does so, Chris is going to sandwich and then usher us into the gate of thanksgiving, the courts with praise, and we will be thankful unto God and bless his holy name. We're leaving on the high note. Don't let go until God blesses you. Don't be dismissed from the balcony to the front row and not deal with Luke 24. It's a prescription. It's a secret. Can I say it? He got. Now, what are you going to do about it? As Warren invites you, then let's worship and let's celebrate God's holy name. I love y'all. Bless you.
Hey, let me just invite you. Thanks, Mike. What a great job. Awesome. That's great. Look, I know we've got young people. Some of you have made decisions this week, but maybe you're a parent or grandparent here or a sibling. That means brother or sister for you little guys. You know what? Today may be the day. Our staff is going to be right through these doors. Mike will be out there to visit with you. We'd love for you to come and just let us share with you and hear from you. What do you need Christ to do for you today? Don't leave this place without him. Let me just leave some quick prayer and then we're dismissed. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for your servant, Mike. Bless him in his ministry. I thank you for these young people. Bless them as they go back on their campuses tomorrow, Father, that they might live out those things they learned this weekend. Thank you for loving us. For your name, I do pray. Amen. Dismissed. Thank you for